Welcome to Bible and Stuff, a podcast about the Bible
and stuff.
I'm Glenn.
And I'm Tanner.
And this week, we are wrapping up our series. We've been talking through the big story of the Bible. We've talked about creation, fall, redemption, and now restoration. Yeah, I don't know. It's been real good so far. I'm excited to kind of talk through this because it's like the unknown almost, the somewhat known. I don't know how to say it.
Yeah, well, I was joking with you beforehand. We have kind of used the like breakup story montage that we started in the beginning where, you know, they're dating, they're good, something bad happens, they split up, that's the fall, and then there has to be this act of redemption before they can be restored. The problem with preparing this episode on the restoration, though, is usually in those stories, they just say, and they lived happily ever after.
Yeah.
And you don't get to know what that's like. So there is a lot of like explicit details that we just don't know yet because we haven't experienced that part of the story. But we know it'll be good. We know it'll be happily ever and after.
Yeah.
But I still think we have a lot of good stuff to talk about. And I think restoration in general is something that we as humans just really enjoy.
Yeah, no, as we were kind of talking through all of this, I was thinking, I do video work on the side. And so there is this friend from high school who is a guitar maker. He builds guitars and he also does repairs and stuff. And so I was getting some promo video and shots prepared for him. And we took time to talk about repair specifically. And so I was asking him, like, you know, what's your favorite kind of repair work? And he was like, well, the repair itself isn't what makes something my favorite. Like he's like, you know, it could be a cracked guitar or a broken headstock or something like that. But he's like, my favorite part of it is being able to repair or restore something that is meaningful to someone, like a meaningful guitar. Maybe it's, you know, generationally passed down, or maybe it was a really special gift. He was like, being able to restore that guitar is what brings me the most joy because you know it means something to them. Yeah. And I just thought that was, I got shivers when he was telling me that because it's like, yeah, that is really, like, I know how much I like it when something of mine is fixed or repaired or restored. To see joy come to somebody else because of what you've done, that's got to be the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, that's why I think just as humans, there's just like this thing inside us that immediately hits. Like there's a reason we love to watch cars be restored. Like I went down a whole YouTube rabbit trail for a few weeks where I'm just watching these cobblers restore shoes, which I don't care about, but it was so interesting and fulfilling to watch. And sure, some of that is like the craft of it all. It's like seeing, you know, they know this thing that like it's just not very common anymore. But I think the beauty of that craft is that it's about not just throwing things away, but taking things that have seen some use and some abuse and making them new again. Taking often, like you were saying, shoes that mean a lot to somebody that have been in their family for a few generations and making them look like they came brand new out of a box without completely, you know, removing the history and the story of that. It is really cool and really fulfilling to get to see. And I think that's what makes this part of our series so fun is because we get to see it come to this happily ever after ending, but it's even sweeter because we know everything that's happened up to this point. We haven't completely removed knowledge, like the character, the history of everything that's happened, but we have restored things back to the way that they should be.
Yeah, and continue to see that restoration. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And of course, by we, I mean Jesus. So to kind of set the stage, as we hop into this week's episode, one thing I wanted to say is because we're talking about restoration, because we're getting into that last part of the Bible that people often get real weird about, I wanted to say, one, that's not what we're doing. Like, we're taking a big overarching view. We're not going to dive down. But I just want to say in general, like, don't miss the forest for the trees. I think often when we talk about Revelation, we really just focus in on, well, what does this one thing mean? Or what does that one thing mean? And that just confuses the bigger picture when we come at it with our assumptions or ideas or questions about what all the smaller pieces are without first understanding the bigger thing that God is doing.
Also, a part of me wonders, like, if we're really supposed to understand all of those intricacies. I think God provides those for us, but when we get to that place where things are fully restored, that's where we're going to have our, like, our aha moment, like, Yeah, that's what you were talking about.
Sure. I think, you know, there's work to be done there, and there are things to be understood today, but I think you're right. Assuming that we'll ever be able to completely uncrack the code is wrongheaded, I believe, right? I mean, the Bible very clearly says things against that. Like, you're not going to know the day or the time. And there's a bunch of people that are like, listen, I've read this a lot. I know exactly when it is. And so that's not what we're doing. Like, we're not going to talk about whether or not locusts are actually Apache helicopters or like what countries are Gog and Magog. Like, we're not getting into that. If that's what you came for, I'm sorry. But that's also really confusing. And we want to help clear some of those things up by backing away a little bit and looking at how they all play a role in the bigger picture. So our main focus for today's episode is continuing the story that we've started and showing how things start to look when Jesus returns and everything is made right.
Yeah. So before we start doing that, let's just do like a brief recap of what we've talked through so far, because I think setting it up again to lead into this would be helpful.
Yeah. So the first thing we covered is creation, right? It's Genesis 1. In the beginning, man and God live in this garden that he created for them, and they're in harmony, and they rule the earth together, and they do everything according to God's perfect will. All these things God created, he said, they're good. That's good. Creation. But then, just a couple chapters later, we have the fall. And the fall just means that man sinned. Adam and Eve ate of the tree that they weren't supposed to eat of, and that is a symbol of them defying God's goodwill and deciding to do things by their own will, by whatever seems right in their own heads. And this leads to sin and death. So that's how we get in the messed up world that we're in. And that continues for a long time. I mean, the Old Testament is the entirety of that story of sin and death inflicting God's people and him redeeming them and restoring them and them trying to fix it, but then messing up. And so we realize that we can't get our own way out of this mess. We need an outside force to help us. So Jesus comes as an outside force, but also becomes one of us to live a sinless life, die a death that he didn't deserve, and he resurrects, defeating sin and death, taking the weight of God's wrath on himself, taking our sins, and providing for us a way back to God, back to living in harmony with our Creator. And then the last part that we didn't touch on too much last week, but is kind of important before we jump into what we're doing this week, is that he ascends into heaven, and then after he does that, he sends the Holy Spirit to dwell with his people, inside his people, until he returns.
Yeah, I don't think we actually touched on that at all last episode. I think we kind of ended it with the resurrection itself, but not the ascension. And that is, to me, that's the beginning of where we are now. When he sends the Holy Spirit down, that's now we're in this place of, okay, already not yet, but Jesus is coming back. Restoration is going to come into play here. So now, like you were saying at the beginning of this episode, when we talk about Revelation and all of these prophecies that are coming into play here, there's just, it all seems really weird. And people just take it and run with it. I mean, we see it in movies and things like that, like just completely blown out of proportion, I think. So when we're talking about restoration, I let's just, how are we talking about it? Like, how as Christians should we go about discussing it?
Well, you're definitely right. I think a lot of our understanding of the quote unquote end times are much more informed by like pop culture and things like the Left Behind series or whatever, rather than like what's actually in the Bible. Yeah, Kirk really did a number on us. I think Nicolas Cage later, didn't he do? Anyway,
he might have.
I'm sure that was great. But anyway, and you know, people can enjoy that as fiction, but I think largely it should end up kind of in the realm of what we think of like the Da Vinci Code or something like that. Like it's fiction at best and really weird theology at worst, or wrong rather.
Yeah.
In those terms, we tend to think like Jesus is going to come back and all the believers go up to heaven and everyone else is completely doomed. And then eventually earth is just destroyed, right? It's kind of like the flood. Like that's just boom, let's nuclear that thing. And then let's make a new one. Either we just live in heaven forever, or if you try to make sense of the new heavens, new earth thing, then it's like, hey, new earth, a perfect earth is coming. But that isn't really the story that the Bible is telling. We'll say, this is my disclaimer first. There are a million disagreements about the timeline of all these things. If you really want to dig into eschatology, which is what we're talking about, the end times kind of stuff, you can look up millennialism, whether it's pre or post or amillennial or tribulation. Anyway, you can get into all of that, which we aren't going to address today. But what I mean is the Bible doesn't tell a story of, hey, let's just blow up the earth and get a better one. The Bible tells the story of God redeeming and restoring all of creation back to himself. He doesn't just give up, you know, press the eject button and start over again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in fact, he's shown, if we go back to the story of Noah that we've talked about a few times, he's shown that that doesn't really work. And he even makes a promise in some ways that I think we could apply to this, that he's not going to do that again. And he's definitely not going to do that again. And I say probably because I think that can apply to what we're talking about here. That's not the way he plans to make this thing right. And I think you can see this just by looking at Jesus, right? He doesn't go around like destroying people and then making like this version 2.0 of you that he replaces. He does that kind of. You are made a new creation, but it's by the redemption of your fallenness. It's by the redemption of who you are currently.
Yeah, I don't think that's wrong at all. I mean, sorry, let me rephrase that. I think you are right in saying that people have had that mindset. I think even growing up, I always had this vision of what death would look like and how I die and my soul goes up to heaven. I'm in the clouds is like the mindset that has been portrayed to me. So that's how I represent it in my head.
I think I've heard it called like Tom and Jerry heaven. Where you're like, I think there's like Jerry's like up playing a harp with like little wings. Yeah, we're like all cherubs or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the way a lot of people picture it. I mean, I don't think they think it's actually that way, but I think their images are a lot closer to that than probably the reality of what heaven is and or will be like.
Yeah.
Also, the other thing we tend to focus on is it's just like a birthday party where it's like all our family just hangs out and this is great and we're restored, as if that's the end goal of what we're searching for here. I mean, that's a great side effect bonus.
Yeah.
But that's not the big story the Bible is telling.
Right. Yeah. That's a good point. 'Cause I think right now, a lot of us view heaven in a selfish manner.
Yeah.
Like I can't wait for all of these things for me, blah, 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 blah. But that's, heaven is more pointing towards, like, it's hard to say what we will be able to be excited about.
Well, so I might actually make the opposite argument, kind of. I think we're going to end up in the same place. But I would say we should think about it more selfishly, and this is what I mean.
Okay.
Being restored to our perfect, good, loving creator will be so much better than just being restored to, you know, fallen, broken family members that we remember and love. That will be great. Don't get me wrong. But it probably points at a small view of God that we don't first think about finally being able to experience his goodness and holiness and love firsthand, right there.
That's
in
what
the
it
flesh.
Is. All of those things are good, but the why behind all of those things are good, I think, our priority and mindset.
Yes. It'll be great to be restored with my grandfather, but that's because that's a part of Jesus making the world right again. That's a part of Jesus removing sin and death and shame. And that's what will make that such a glorious reunion. Not just getting to see someone I haven't seen in a long time. It's so much more than that. And so we need to get rid of our smaller views and embrace this bigger thing that God is doing. I don't know if you've noticed, but the whole time we've been doing this podcast, we've been in a coffee shop.
It's crazy the amount of editing that we can do to drown out all of these crazy noises that you hear and just hear our voices. But yeah, Tanner is right. We are in a coffee shop, and man, does it smell good in here.
Yeah, we're just taking a quick break as this nice lady pours us some more coffee. I mean, you can hear them grinding some new beans in the back. It's a good place to do it.
It's great. And as you've probably noticed, Tanner and I have lowered ourselves to the point where we need to ask for money both in a coffee shop and virtually to support this podcast.
Hey, busking is a perfectly fine thing to do. But for people like you who aren't here in the moment, we have to give you another option, which is a virtual tip jar. So if you want to support us, you want us to be able to keep making episodes like this one, then you can check out the link in the description and drop us a few bucks, just like the people here. I mean, the study group over there was nice enough to contribute. Even the guy playing guitar, busking himself over in the corner. Super, super cool dude.
We must be the most annoying people in here. This guy's trying to play guitar and we're doing a podcast over him.
But, you know, we fit in wherever we go.
And who knows where you'll see us next week. So we've already said that heaven is probably not what we think, or not what culture has given us this idea of what it is.
Yeah.
We hinted at this last episode when we were talking about Jesus teaching us the Lord's Prayer and some of these other moments where he's talking about heaven coming to earth. Let's dive a little bit more into that. Like, what will this actually play out to be like?
Sure. So as opposed to Left Behind, where we're all being sucked up into heaven and then, you know, earth is bye-bye. The story of the Bible is actually heaven coming down to earth. Jesus comes and says the kingdom of heaven is at hand, right? We talked about this a lot last week. He is bringing heaven down to earth, and we, as his followers, take up that mantle of taking the kingdom out into the world. So that doesn't end by God just being, never mind. That ends by the fullness of heaven coming down to be with earth. So let's kind of talk about the storyline we see of this idea, heaven and earth becoming one, throughout the Bible. The first picture we get is Eden. That is heaven and earth completely together. Overlapped. Yeah. That is man and God living together in harmony and ruling together according to God's goodwill. But then fall messes that up. We've talked about that a lot. But that idea doesn't completely go away. God still pursues his people and lives among them in a number of different ways throughout the Bible. The first we see is the tabernacle, or one of the first, rather, we see is the tabernacle. The same idea is the temple, and then the New Testament continuation of that is the Holy Spirit living inside of us and dwelling in God's people on earth. So we now are little places where heaven and earth overlap. And that's how we can be kingdom agents, right? Agents of bringing the kingdom to earth. And so the last picture of this we see in the Bible is the opposite bookend of Eden. So we started with heaven and earth completely overlapped. That got messed up, but we see these hints and glimpses of that being the plan, and we see it again at the end in Revelation 21. And Jesus says, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.'"
Yeah.
So that's heaven coming down to earth. That is new heaven and new earth. It's not that we just abandoned the old one and started from scratch. It's that God has so redeemed and transformed broken creation that it has been completely restored to the way it should be, and Jesus is making all things new again.
I love it. I get goosebumps.
I know. It's great. It's exciting. It's great. It's such a better story. And so I think that's why we wanted to tell this big story of the Bible. It has a lot of implications, like I said, that help us kind of read the Bible and know where we're at. But also, it's just the best version, right?
Yeah.
I mean, most good fiction is based off of this story.
Right, right.
Most good fiction is a complete and total ripoff of the Bible.
Well,
and I'm not even just talking about like Lord of the Rings or Narnia that are kind of explicitly based off of Jesus and those kinds of things, but so many stories are essentially just taking wholesale the story that God's already written.
I think if you were to dissect the idea of story in general, you're kind of hitting most of these points, right? There's something there, and in most cases it's good. Then there's conflict, or the fall in this case. Mm-hmm. Then you come to a point where like, okay, something's going to happen. You can't just leave it like this. Like there is redemption. And then, I mean, we hit on this last week when you were talking about the idea of a love story more specifically. Then you hit that point of restoration, happily ever after. We just don't necessarily know what all of that looks like in the after part. We have ideas.
Yeah, well, and that's kind of where we have to like wrap this week's up is we don't know that much.
Yeah.
Well, so the first thing I think people will want to ask is, okay, that's where things are going, but what about now? Like people still die now.
Right.
What happens when I die before Jesus?
Yeah.
What happens, Glenn?
You know, maybe this is off topic, but in the same realm, I guess I wonder about that. But last week we also talked about the saints being raised from the dead at the time where Jesus died. So like, what happened to that? What was there in between? Like, what was going on? And so, yeah, I have questions about that. I have questions about this.
Sure. Yeah, well, I still don't know if I have a good answer for the zombie one yet. But as far as I know, everyone besides Jesus who was resurrected dies again. So it's essentially becomes answering the same question as, well, what happens when we die, you know, pre-Jesus coming back and making heaven and earth? And I do think the Bible, just to put all your questions at rest, I do think the Bible makes it pretty clear in multiple places that when we die now, we go to be with Jesus. I mean, the two off the top of my head are the thief on the cross. Jesus tells him, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." And then Paul, very clearly, when he's saying to live as Christ, to die as gain, he's saying, if I live, then I get to continue to be a Christian. I get to continue to spread the gospel and do those things. To die is gain. And he says there, like, I get to go be with Jesus. I get to rest. I get to be done with the work part and into the enjoying him part. So Paul very clearly thinks, you know, I'm going home to be with Christ.
But then it's kind of like, okay, well, if we're in this already not yet phase, if we die, heaven and earth are separate right now. Are we going to heaven and eventually we're coming to earth? Like, those questions start raising up. There's so much. Sure. Yeah, there's a lot of, I think you're right. The Bible tells us we will be with Jesus and that is enough. I think anything beyond that, yeah, is maybe speculation and it's cool to think about, but it doesn't matter. We're with God.
Yeah.
And that's what
I mean,
counts.
There are good arguments out there. I am not an expert on any of them, but I think you're right. Like, what is heaven without Jesus anyway? If we know we're going to be with Jesus, we're going to be in some kind of heaven. Maybe not the final climactic end that we're talking about here in this episode, but it's gonna be good. Don't get like don't worry. Is what I'm trying to say. You'll be okay. And I think the other natural question that comes up is like, okay, well, if heaven isn't this like, you know, playing the harp on a cloud for eternity kind of thing, what is this new heaven and new earth? Like, if this idea is new to you, you're kind of like, what's that look like? And Revelation does a pretty good job of explaining that. Like, it's a city, New Jerusalem comes down and becomes part of earth. And we live, you know, the whole like lion and lamb, like lay together kind of thing. Like, we all live in harmony and peace according to God's goodwill. And there definitely is some singing, right? I mean, there's a lot of singing in Revelation, but I don't think that's all there is.
Yeah.
I do think we live in God's glory and we worship him because of who he is and everything that he has done. Again, pointing back to, we know the story up to this point. That's what makes the end of it so satisfying, which I think is a fun point. Like, if you just meet someone in their happily ever after, you're like, cool, they're happy, whatever. But once you know like what they've been through and what they've gone through, that's when it becomes sweet. Like, yeah, you know, getting to sit down and hear like an old married couple's story of all the things that they've been through is very satisfying. But you would never know that just coming into the end of the story. So
yeah.
I don't know. I think that part is what makes the end so great. So, you know, maybe that doesn't completely answer the problem of sin. Like, why is there sin? But I think that helps us start is all this turmoil makes it so much sweeter.
Yeah.
I don't know is the answer. That what does heaven, new heaven, new earth look like? I don't know. We know some things. We don't know everything, but we know it's good. Yeah. We know what it's not, and that's painful. That's full of tears. That's all these things that Jesus and we as Christians go out in the world to try to restore, to try to make better, to take the gospel to.
Awesome. Well, guys, that is a wrap to our series. It has been awesome to walk through this larger story with you. I hope that you have some good nuggets and some good takeaways. I know for us, there's been a lot. But let us know what you think. Let us know if you enjoyed it, what you enjoyed about it. We want to hear more from you. And you can do that in several different ways.
Yeah, as always, you can check us out on social media. That's by hitting us up on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Or you can reach out to us directly by emailing us at hello@bibleandstuff.com. We love hearing from you guys, and I know we throw an ad in the middle of the show, but if you like what you enjoy, please support us and help us keep this thing going. We've talked about it a few times, but we are deep into working on our next project that we're hoping you'll get to see sometime early-ish next year, and your tips go a long way to help make that thing happen. So you can do that by looking at the link in the description. Maybe you just click on the podcast art on whatever platform you're on. That's the easiest way to find it and scroll down a little bit. Or you can go to bibleandstuff.com/tip jar. We appreciate everything you guys give through there.
Until next time,
peace. The Bible and Stuff podcast is a production of Bible and Stuff. We do more than just podcasts, so if you want to know more about something we've covered on the show, just visit our website at BibleandStuff.com. Our show is hosted by Tanner Britt and Glenn Brand, and our theme music is by The Sing Team. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.